And it was at that time that Paul came out on deck. Now, he was the prisoner, but he really comes on as if he is the captain. And he says these words in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Paul on board the ship was as much a prophet as he was on land.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Today, our message is on Paul, a man of faith on board the ship. He was as much a prophet on sea as he was on land. And when the storm blew, the ship was tossed, and they would have abandoned ship, Paul said not to. He stood up and he took control. He was a man in charge, because he was in touch with God, and God was in touch with him. I trust you'll stay tuned with us as we come to that message in a few moments. Our Bible verse for today is 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The absolute assurance that is given to the Christian is an amazing testimony to the power of the gospel. John says, hereby know we. And as you read through this letter of John to the Christians, you'll find that the word know or knoweth is repeated over and over and over. The Christian can know. The Christian can be sure. The Christian is given to be certain that we are saved, that we are born of God, and that we dwell in him. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. Here is the two-way dwelling of the Christian life. We dwell in the Lord, and the Lord dwells in us by his Spirit. We live every day as a branch in the vine. We drink our life from him, and his life is poured into us. This is a beautiful picture of the Christian life. And it says, hereby know we, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to promote and maintain the assurance of salvation within the heart of the Christian. And of course, that is the ongoing ministry of the Spirit of God in the Christian's heart. And I pray today that you will know much of the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. Let's join together in prayer and pray for the Holy Spirit to come to baptize and infill us afresh today. O God and Father, we thank thee for this great and wonderful statement of truth, that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to dwell in us, and that we may dwell in the Lord Jesus. We pray earnestly today for a mighty baptism and a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that thou wilt give to us new grace, new power, new measures of the Spirit, that we might live above this world, and that we might live in and according to the divine will of God. We ask for power today to live for thee. Encourage thy people, minister through thy word, and glorify thy name. This we plead and we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're turning to our message today on Paul aboard the ship. He's commanding the officers to stay put because he has a word from the Lord that not a soul will perish. I trust the Lord will minister to your heart today from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, as we let the Bible speak.
We're coming to Acts 27, and we're coming to a very select part of this whole narrative, and that is to the text, verse 25, to these choice words of the apostle to all on board the ship in the midst of the great hour of crisis, in the threat of the Euroclydon hurricane that they were in the midst of in the Mediterranean, just off the island of Melita. If you draw a line from the city of Rome right south, you will find your way to this island that they were crashing upon. And it was at that time that Paul came out on deck. Now, he was the prisoner, but he really comes on as if he is the captain. And he says these words in verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Paul on board the ship was as much a prophet as he was on land. He was still God's man with God's message in this most difficult situation. And in all reality, from this point on, he was the man in charge of the vessel. His word was the word that counted, and indeed the word that saved the lives of every man on board. This particular storm was given a name of Euroclydon. Some have referred to it as a typhoon, but it was a whirlwind. A whirlwind in which it was absolutely impossible to manage the ship and steer it in a direct, proper course. And of course, as we read the chapter, we can hear the shouts and the cries of men on board. The ship is out of control. They had tried absolutely every shipping technique to no avail. Now, we've been studying Paul's life, and we want to keep that focus tonight as well. We're not so much interested in storms and ships and sailing and how to escape in the midst of danger and those kind of things. We want to keep our eye on this particular prisoner who becomes the commander. We have seen Paul with his ideals, his ambition. He says, "I must see Rome." He has in mind the great idea that this gospel, this message of Christianity, if it is to take a grip upon the Gentile world, it must be planted very securely and firmly in the very heart of the Roman Empire. And so, as we look chapters back, when he finished up in the city of Ephesus, Paul set his sights upon the city of Rome. He had business in Jerusalem. It was there that he ended up, because of a mob riot, imprisoned for his safety. He's a man on trial. He appeals to Caesar. He is now on board this ship en route to Rome when the storm strikes. Now we wonder, what is this man Paul made of in the hour of crisis? Does he go to pieces? Does God stand with him in the hour of his testing? God does test his servants. God tested Abraham by a most personal and heart-rending test when he called him to go up to Mount Moriah, take Isaac, his only son whom he loved, and slay him as a sacrifice. That was a great test of Abram's obedience and love for God. And of course, we know that when he was about to slay his own son, Abram would have gone through with the act. But God intervened and stopped him and rewarded him for his willingness to obey God at the cost of his son. God tested Job with a very severe, lengthy trial. But in the end, he blessed Job's latter end with twice the number of children, twice the animals, servants, and riches. God also tested Moses at the Red Sea. After the victory of delivering Israel out of Egypt, they were entrapped with a mountain one side, a sea before them, and Pharaoh's army coming behind. And Moses was tested. And God said to Moses, "Go forward." That's not easy when on all sides you're trapped. And Moses took the rod and went forward, obeyed God. There will be situations in your life when your faith will be tested, when there is no way out and there is no human answer, and God is leaving you in the midst of that seeming absolute dilemma. And then you will have to say what Paul said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Now in this account, which I'm not going to rehearse because it's such an involved narrative, an exciting story, you wonder where to start. But we know that Paul becomes the lifeline of every man on board the ship. His word was the word of direction that saved every soul on board. And his hope and confidence became the salvation of crew, passengers, and prisoners. You'll notice what he said, "Be of good cheer." I want to take those words tonight. Be of good cheer. The word of a man of faith.
Once aimlessly I wandered, no hope within my soul. A vessel with no pilot's hand, no haven and no goal. I tried to find an answer to calm the troubled sea. I drifted with no sight of land till Jesus rescued me. He whispered, "Peace, be still," to me. My heart obeyed his will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When he said, "Peace, be still." And now I have a captain, he'll guide, I know he will. I've given Jesus full command since he said, "Peace, be still." Oh, friend, if you are drifting, there's just one thing to do. Trust Jesus is the one demand. He'll whisper peace to you. "Peace, be still," to me. My heart obeyed his will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When he said, "Peace, be still."
was Tim Fisher singing for us. He whispered, "Peace be still." And what a wonderful Savior we have. He calms the storms. The winds obey him. The waters obey him. And he comes into our lives and he calms the storm of our souls. I pray that the Lord will bring peace into your heart and life and bring great joy and grace to your heart. Thank you for being a partner with us here and Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us, and I trust day by day you'll return and join with us as we minister the Word of God and preach the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. Over this week, we have been ministering on the life of the Apostle Paul, not so much looking at the gospel message, not so much looking at the doctrine, but looking at the man, his faith, his standing for God, and how the Lord used him in such a mighty way. And our prayer and burden is that the Lord may raise up men and raise up preachers here in Canada. The great urgency in this rising generation is for preachers of the gospel, not pansies in pulpits that don't know how to preach, but men of grace, men of gospel power, men who are soul winners, men who have power and determination to stand for God. And I trust that today, that in the ministry of this life of Paul, you will be stirred to stand for him.
Firstly, look in these verses, and we're going to really restrict ourselves to verses 22 to 25, to the timing of Paul's word of cheer. It was after Paul's previous advice had been rejected. It was after Paul had said, "Do not leave the fair heavens. Do not enter into the high seas from this place of safety, or it will be at great cost." But they wouldn't listen, because the fair heavens was just a little place. And if you look at the verse 12, you will see, "Because the haven was not commodious to enter in." It wasn't big enough for them. It wasn't fancy enough. It wasn't luxurious enough. And they were of the opinion, "We don't want to stay here. This is not much of a place to wait and reside while the winter storms are past. Let's move on." And so they went totally against the witness of Paul. You'll notice also that Paul exhorted they remain in these fair havens because the soft wind blew softly. It's very deceptive. In verse 13, it says, "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they looked out, far as they could tell, with whatever weather instruments they had, all's clear." Paul said, "Don't go." But because of the south wind, which to them made them feel all was well and all was safe, and it blew so softly, they would not take the apostles' advice. That's just like the spirit of the world. The world who looks around and feels the warmth and the generosity of life. "I don't need to worry. I don't need to be seeking refuge. Life's good to me." So they don't listen to God's word. And then also down in verse 21, you'll notice that Paul had held his tongue in abstinence from speaking for a long time. They had gone through this Euroclidean storm. Verse 16, there was much work to try and save the ship. Verse 17, they used helps. Verse 17 again, they strake sail after they were in the quicksands. Verse 18, they lightened the ship. And when they did everything that they could, the whirlwind was tossing their vessel on the high seas. And during that time, Paul remained silent. They had tried everything. And you'll notice the darkness, the awful, awful darkness. And it says down there in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, Paul kept quiet. And when all hope was gone, then Paul spake his word, be of good cheer, for I believe God. The timing of his word of cheer is very important here. And there are times when it's our opportunity to witness to men the message of the gospel, and there's a time to be silent, a time when people won't listen, when the south wind blows softly and all seems so safe to them, and they won't listen. A time when they're doing everything they can in their own power to steer the vessel of life, and they won't stop trying their own way. But when all hope is gone, then it's time to give the word of cheer. And when that time comes, be ready. Be faithful. Have a word ready, that you might have a timely word of witness to some soul that has lost hope, whatever their trial is, that you might bring that word of cheer. Now, secondly, look at the basis of Paul's word of cheer. It wasn't just a frivolous word, oh, take heart, okay, we'll get through this. Paul had something of substance. He had the Lord's word. He said to them in verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul had the Lord speaking to him. And the Lord said to him, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. Now remember, this was Paul's own desire, but it was also the Lord's word to him. Paul had purposed in the spirit that he would see Rome. And the Lord had said to him, away back, chapter 23, 11, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou must see Rome. And here again, the word of God comes to him and said that you shall stand before Caesar. And this was Paul's travel insurance. Right in the midst of all the dangers that he was in, Paul had a word from God that he would get through this storm and he would still one day stand before Caesar. He had this personal word from God. But it meant more than just his own life. You'll see in verse 24 that not only his own life, but all them that sail with thee, everyone on board. And this was the basis of Paul's word of good cheer to the men on ship. There will be no loss of life. Now, how could Paul be sure? Because he said, I believe God. It came down to his acceptance of that word that was given to him. And upon that word, he believed. And he took heart and he could give cheer to others. And he preached on the deck what God had said to him in the secret of the night. He opened up his heart, and what he took to his own heart with great confidence, through faith, he was able to preach on board. And this is Paul the preacher, declaring in the crisis the message God had given him. And here we see the real Paul. Here we see the real man in a crisis situation. He's a man that still believes God. And he can preach in the tossing and the turning of the ship what God has said to a soul. And you know, that's Paul through and through. That's the real man. Whether he's preaching about the destination of this vessel or he's preaching the doctrines of the gospel, Paul is not preaching his own opinion. He's preaching what God has said. And whether it's the doctrine of justification or the doctrine of resurrection, it's not what is his own opinion. It's what he has received. And if you read Galatians 1, he makes a whole lot that his gospel he did not receive from men, but he received it directly by revelation. And Paul was standing upon what God had taught him and revealed to him. And so this is the real Paul. He is declaring what God has said.
Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak, and I trust the Lord's Word has been a blessing and that His grace has ministered to your heart in this inward look at the life, the character, the man, the Apostle Paul, as he now sets sail for Rome. He gets his wish that he will go to that center of the known world to be a witness for the gospel. And I pray today that the Lord will make us a witness and that we will be that shining light to men in their darkness. Thank you for being a part of the program today, and I trust that you'll stay tuned for our closing announcements, our website, phone number, church address, and an invitation to our church services here in Cloverdale. Thank you for tuning in. May the Lord bless you richly through His Word. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel and that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.